Hello and welcome to another episode of the Magician's Call podcast. We have another great episode for you. In this episode, we will join Lance Allred and Dr. Lahab Al-Samrai, who will continue to discuss the Magician's Archetype. It's a great episode and we can't wait for you to hear it. If you want to support the IFC's Magician's Call podcast, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. So without any further ado, Dr. Al-Samrai, take it away.
Welcome back to another episode. This is actually our third episode of The Magician's Call. I'm here with Lance Allred. I am Dr. Lahab Al-Samrai, and you guys are getting to know us. We're actually on Anchor, on our own podcast, or on our own show now. We're not on the IFC podcast anymore. So just FYI, to everybody, I've been sending it out, but Lance, what's going on today? How you feeling?
Well, lots of stuff is going on. I think someone who is activating magician archetype, to step into that, I think anyone really has to begin to uncover a lot of repressed trauma. That the magician, in so many ways, as a means of survival, not just from this iteration, this generation, but from generations past where we were less civilized, where magicians were crucified, burned at the stake, et cetera, that as a means of surviving, that
hunted, tortured, imprisoned, burnt. Yes.
That we repress a lot of trauma just as a means of surviving.
Yeah.
And a lot of magicians.
Generational.
Speaking, but also in reincarnation concepts.
Yeah.
Even when you're born now, as a way of fitting into a Cold War era that was very much aggressive warrior energy, magicians, definitely we're dealing with a lot of that hyper masculine abusive machoism and being taught to fit in, and this is what we have to look like to be alpha or to be manly, that we again to fit in, blend in, we suppressed a lot of stuff. And even as I am stepping into much more of the magician archetype, you realize it's a continual journey that you think, oh, I'm doing well, I'm emotionally well, but there's always steps as you want to go deeper and deeper into magic and deeper into power. Adversely, there's more trauma that you have to uncover and peel back. Ooh. And so it isn't, there's great power that comes with the magician archetype, but it doesn't come for free, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that to leverage that power, you also have to uncover all the weight of the repressed trauma that magicians are sometimes pretty good at avoiding looking at. Again, it's just a way to fit in and blend in.
Yeah.
That we spend so much time blending in and sprinkling magic on other people that we are very adverse or sometimes just unaware of, oh, wait, it's time for me to go back in and work on some of my own things right now, because I'm ready to level up as far as what magic I bring into the world.
We lose ourselves.
Absolutely. I would say we lose ourselves.
Yeah, we tend to give more of ourselves than what is really too much. It becomes way too much. We deplete ourselves. Because that's the energy. That's the archetypal energy. That's where we're pushed. We're pushed to compensate, balance.
Yes. And the threshold of the magician is actually quite high. Again, when you have enough trauma, when you are the one that terrifies people, when you're the one that keeps pushing the envelope, so to speak, of the human capability. Of the human limits, we continually agitate people, and But ironically, the more and more they keep pushing us on the fringes, the more and more they keep oppressing us or assaulting us, the more and more they stretch our threshold for discomfort.
So
it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that we're continually pushing the envelope further and further, the more and more they try to oppress us and inflict trauma onto us.
Yeah. I for today's show, I made some points that I thought we'd discuss about magicians. You will know them. But so one of them is that they project a normal transparent surface on the outside, but often they're very private and very caught up in their own interior worlds.
Absolutely.
They appear to be so nice and charming, yet at the same time, they are secretly masterminds of things that are going on. They're trying to solve problems. So
yes.
On the one hand, they're talking to somebody and having a conversation. But on the other hand, they're actually thinking of doing something, fixing something, creating something. They're very far away. They're at the same time, they're talking to you. They're in the same room with you. They're even face to face with you. You even say all the right things. And they feel really good about how your attention is being held by them, but they're actually not even there.
I think that's fair, but I think they give magicians credit that learning how to be in multiple places at the same time.
Yes.
That I can authentically still connect with someone.
Yeah.
And meet them at their archetypal strengths.
Yeah.
And acknowledge and see those strengths while at the same time allowing RAM processing to be solving a big problem or a bigger problem that's in the back of my mind. So in a way, I wouldn't say we're multitasking, but we are able, the magician is able to hold different applications at the same time in their brain.
Yes, I like that. I tell my wife I could do multiple things at the same time. I'm listening to the radio, there's a television going on, I have a monitor in front of me, and I am typing something. And she's like, how do you do all this? I said, because each one is separate from the other. I don't hear them all at once. They don't come at me all at once.
Right.
They come each in their own time, their own space.
Mm-hmm. And the first one, remind me the first clarification you stepped through.
Project a normal, transparent surface outwardly.
Yes, but very, very private. That's where I confuse a lot of people, that my Aquarian energy in an external, in a public setting, people see the gregarious persona that I'm able to hold and be a host for people in a large gathering at a convention and be the public speaker, be the keynote closing speaker. Yeah. And they assume that makes me extroverted.
Yeah.
That's just one facet of me. But how I charge up is I want to go home and be by myself, and take my hearing aids out and go inward and ground myself. Yeah. That the magician, when the magician is in full activated mode, as we discussed just now, we are already up and out, meaning our consciousness is already seeing multiple levels of what's happening, not just in this vibration, but as below, so to above, so to speak, that we're already processing like that. So you have a lot of other people like, oh, I meditate to go to other worlds and just get out of my body and leave this world behind. And you and I are like, that's what I do during my day job. And I just want to be able to ground myself and shut that valve off.
Because
when you're on, that connection or that portal gateway is always open, that it is draining. So that when I come home, people are getting to know me, that I can be very confusing to them. They're like, wait, you don't want to go rock climbing this weekend? Yeah. I'm like, no. My life is always, my public life is always an adrenaline rush. There's always so much information coming that when I'm given a keynote speech, that's when my downloads come. Mm. When I am on the stage, like the new alpha male, the latest book I wrote, all of that content came while I was on stage speaking. That's when I'm most tapped into source, because not only am I speaking.
Tell me something from that book. Tell me something about.
Well, the new alpha male really is about the magician. It's learning how the magician can, the heart-centered way that new alpha behavior is being able to do something so uncomfortable and brave that you are not culturally conditioned to do. Such as hold compassion for someone on a completely different path than yours. Whereas, you know, in Cold War era, we're taught our way or the highway, our values are the best. But the magician learns to hold space and see the necessity of every archetypal journey. And we see the sacredness of it. And we're able to say, I can hold compassion. I can put myself in your shoes because I see the necessity of your archetypal journey from a universal level. So what I'm doing, I'm bringing in a lot of the magician language, moving it into a corporate, quote, alpha setting to show, wait, the magician might be more alpha than any archetype you'll ever know. Because we are
the
able
secret
to
secret alpha.
What was that?
They're the secret alpha.
Yes, the secret alpha, the new alpha.
Yeah, they're not the open alpha.
No.
They're not the warrior alpha. They are the
secret
alpha.
They're not the false bravado.
Yeah.
Magician is the one, as I've had many warrior alphas that were coaches that were like, oh, I am kids these days are so soft. I can't verbally abuse them, you know? That's what I was raised with. These kids are soft. And I tell them, you know what's really soft? The inability to adapt. Because as Darwin said, it's not the strongest or the smartest that survive, it's those who are most willing to adapt. Yeah. But that's what the magician excels at.
Yeah, but this is because their main task, always, their major trick is creation. They always want to create something, you know, abracadabra. They want to create something.
Yes.
They want to show you something you've never seen. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? Not because they're showing off, as we were talking about alphas, not because they're showing off, is because that's one of their tasks. That's the archetypal energy. It needs to convey story. It needs to convey creation. It needs to convey understanding, a higher level of consciousness. It needs to convey a message.
Absolutely. And as we discussed in the first episode, manifestation is grit.
Yeah.
And so that is truly the essence of what does it mean to be alpha. Is your threshold of discomfort higher than anybody else's? What would be more alpha than that, man or woman? Alpha is not gender exclusive.
No.
Are you able to deal with extreme levels of discomfort? Yes, you are. Because from past iterations, past incarnations, that you've already been pushed to the brink, that your threshold to keep expanding and looking for new frontiers, that while we have lost geographical terrain to explore as quote frontiers, the magician says, where to next? Inward to the heart, and the heart is the gateway to the cosmos. And so that is the new alpha, getting people to move into a heart-centered way, walking the path of the heart. And that's what magician recognizes, masculine and feminine are necessary at the same time.
You reinterpreted alpha for the American viewer.
I did.
Because alpha for the American viewer is the warrior archetype. Yeah, the warrior archetype, you know, shoot them, kill them, you know, get out of my way, you know, like Clint Eastwood type of stuff. But not the philosopher, not the person who questions, not the person who is thinking of solutions to problems that haunt us.
Right.
Because that's what one of our major tasks is. So I'm going to go to the next point. They tend to have original personal about how the world works. They have an original theory, a personal theory about how the world works. So that's the other thing about the magician. You want to...
Well, you know, how the world works, how I see it in the context of simulation theory, as video games become more and more lifelike, who's to say we're not in someone else's video game?
Yeah, of course.
But we're, But when people ask me, so why are we even here? What I see it with the magician, when I go into there, I see it like, okay, the universe itself, if you get a wide lens photograph, it begins to look like a brain. And the galaxies interconnect like synapses in a brain. Now, how I see the world working is that it's simply one tiny cell in the brain of the universe that is cancerous. And are we going to let it grow and become more volatile? Ooh. Or are the antibodies, older consciousness, older souls, older spirits going to continue to reincarnate and come back and give radiation therapy to help the earth vibrate at a higher consciousness to kill any cancerous cells? Ooh. So that's my original idea of how I see what is going on here.
Ooh,
that
I agree with you. I think there's a balance in the universe. I think when things are out of balance, the universe rebalances itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the human body is fascinating, the antibodies will find a way to heal itself.
Yeah.
That on the frequency of scale, you know, we're vibrating in this dimension, but who's not to say that we're not in the brain, again, of some other person on a different vibration who's in right. the hand of someone else's vibration. That their concept of scale is fascinating to play in. But that's what the magician loves. The magician is not threatened or afraid to play in these big, gigantic, universal sandboxes. That to say, you know what? There aren't really any rules. This is a sandbox mode. As the universe continues to expand and contrast, the rules are always continually changing. And that allows us to say, all right, I can be afraid of it. Like the warrior and everyone else, they want to know what is the rule so they can be in control. The magician just says, nope, this is one big entire sandbox and I'm never going to be in control. All I can do is say, all right, it's time to play and see what magic we can create. Mm-hmm. Knowing that full well, no matter what beautiful castles we build in the sandbox, everything eventually fades.
Yeah, you know, in Jungian advanced motor processing, that's what we do. We move the energy. And by moving the energy starts to heal parts of you that were starving of light, of magic, of the sparkle dust that you like to say. I like that word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They can suddenly reveal a more moody and sensitive side. They can become impatient and kind of, you know, irritated.
I think that's a good indication of one of the great challenges for magicians is learning to set healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
That, again, we're always trying to be everything to everyone, and we think we are, and quite frankly, we are capable of being everything to everyone, because, again, we can wear many masks to bring in a little magic to everyone's life.
Yeah.
But when we get stretched so thin that a part of us gets frustrated, like, when are people just going to say thank you one damn time?
Ooh.
But that's the curse of the magician, that a lot of people can't even recognize magic when it slaps them in the face. That we show up and we do impressive things, but they learn to take it for granted, thinking that's what always happens everywhere. You're like, no, I brought magic to this space. Like, for example, there are many basketball teams. Most of the teams that cut me or the coaches, when we had a record season, the coaches, again, were threatened by the magician archetype that I brought. That they thought, oh, you know what? We're not going to re-sign Lance because I'm going to show it's my system that's special. Every coach that ever cut me that didn't sign me to the next season had a worse record the next year. Going to show.
But it's historical, right? It happens to you.
It happens
to you. They've been underestimating you from day one. They were underestimating you when you started to have a hearing problem. They underestimated your intelligence. They underestimated your ability. They underestimated.
Absolutely. I think, again, that's where the magician gets frustrated. We get underestimated and we're unseen. But that's the curse and the blessing of the magician at the same time, double-edged sword of invisibility.
Yeah. Well, that invisibility keeps us safe.
Strength, but also it's a curse.
Yeah, but that keeps us safe, being unseen. And being sometimes our ego gets involved, our shadow gets involved, and it wants to show off. It wants to really rub it in. It was to show apart that we can really show you something and then make you like really want to know.
Absolutely. And trust me, spite's a great motivator. I've used it many, many times. I think an important thing I have to remind myself a lot when that frustration kicks in is when people underestimate me, they're giving me the tactical advantage.
Yes.
And so realizing I actually don't want people to always give me credit. Otherwise, they see me and they no longer give me that tactical advantage. But when people continue to underestimate me, turn away, that allows me to go and do even cooler things that they then assume, okay, Lance isn't that special. I'm not going to try to control him or put him inside of a box or keep him under my thumb. I'm just going to assume it's all about me. I'm going to turn away from Lance and assume he's not capable of doing anything cool beyond this. Oh, wait, he went and did it. So that's one thing I would tell anyone. Whenever you're frustrated that you're not being seen or given credit, to say, you know what? They're giving me the tactical advantage and frankly, the permission to go do more cool things.
That's a good lesson to our younger magicians. That's something really important to learn.
Yes.
That is the case. It's not the opposite that's the case. It's not the opposite that you're not recognized and that you're not important. You're actually, this is an advantage. And the more you awaken to the possibility of what you are, the more you're able to spot that advantage quicker. You start to see it right away. You start to see because they're showing their hand. They're showing you their trick, right?
Absolutely.
So that's what magicians do best is they figure out everybody's tricks real quick.
Yes.
They solve everybody's like, oh, what are you playing at? Oh, I could have figured that out. And then when people ask you, which is always a problem for me, but I hide behind the cloth of psychotherapy, they say, you must have figured me out by now. You've already psychoanalyzed me. And actually, I don't psychoanalyze them. I see them through the magician. I see them. Yeah. I see them the way they exist. Tell me about that, Lance. Tell me about your thought.
Well, what I'm smiling is that I'm divorced. And she is the mother of my son. So I will always do my best to speak respectfully of her. And yet to this day, 7 years later, just recently, she will still do things that will make me scratch my head and say, why do you continually think that I'm dumb and I'm not going to recognize what you're doing? I know what you're doing. And it's very tricky because you don't want to be arrogant.
No.
But they don't realize how fast you're processing. The magician's IQ.
But it feels like an insult.
Yes.
If it keeps happening, it feels like an insult. It's like an insult. Why do they feel like they can get away with that?
Do you think I'm stupid that I can't even see this? That the magician is one intellectually, the IQ of the magician, great, cool. That's not, but the emotional intelligence of the magician is very high. But also, here's another thing, the spatial intelligence of the magician is sky high. That you're seeing and processing. If you like, the magician gets irritated in public spaces, like a Walmart, when people stop in the middle of the walkway, and you're like, all you have to do is pull over to the side. But the magician is always aware, but that goes back to some trauma that we're always spatially aware. Our peripheral vision is always sharp. And we're recognizing everything moving around us. And some people see things just so linearly that it's so foreign to us that people aren't spatially aware. But so the spatial awareness and the emotional awareness that we're always computing and processing, that if you look around and you say, sometimes, my gosh, what is going on? How are these people surviving this long in the world that they haven't been wiped out yet?
I've said the same thing. I'm sorry. That's why I'm laughing. I've said actually the exact same thing you just said.
How has Darwinism not wiped them out yet? I don't know. But that is something I continually smile myself at, like, okay, I don't get off. And the magician learns the hard way. People don't care about how smart we are. People care if we care. They want to know how much you care. And the magicians learn to do very well at that. Where the magician falls by the wayside is that They want people to know how smart we are. And that's something the magician has to let go of. I don't care if people know how smart I am. But there are some days, again, when people try to think that they can manipulate me and I don't know what they're doing, this is like, okay, deep breaths. Deep breaths. I see what you're doing from a mile away, and there's nothing clever about this at all.
I take it as theater. I get really loud and rather like flail my arms in the air, like I can't believe you're doing this. But it's out of theater because I think it's hilarious. Because I think it's so absurd that I'm like staring at you. Like I'll say things like, you know, I've been a psychotherapist for 20 years, right? And they're like, so I tried to give it to them in their language.
Right.
At first. And then, and then I get to where you are. Yeah. And then I'm like, this is fucked up. Yeah. I can't deal with these people. Okay. There's this other thing that they struggle to answer questions about the way they think about things and a clear pattern for people.
That's fair. That I would say we struggle to answer because we are unsure of how much sacred information we can share that won't fall on deaf ears. That, okay, I'm in a room and I feel prompted to share something, but how many people are actually going to pick up what I'm putting down? And so, but the trick of the magician, as I've learned from public speaking and Q&A, with time and practice, you learn to answer a question and meet everyone where they're at. Some people might still be stuck in individual or tribal mentality. Some people might be graduating to global mentality, but others are graduating to galactic or universal consciousness. But finding ways to drop little nuggets here and there, I would say is one of my strengths with the poet archetype. That learning to read and write as a kid before I became a basketball player, the power of symbols. So this is something I would coach to anyone who's a magician. Trust in the power of symbolism. Symbols are not always symbolic. And what I mean by that, symbols are very powerful. An archetype is a symbol.
Of course.
Symbol of a universal consciousness.
It's a symbol, it's an image, it's a pattern, it's an energy, it's a story, it's a... it's a drama, it's a play, it's many, many things. The shapeshifter.
And so trusting in the power of symbols when you speak, that is quite often in my Q&As, I'll just start throwing out archetypes. I'll just start speaking about Camelot and King Arthur or Lancelot or whatnot. And when you speak in those symbols, some part of them at a subconscious level will begin to hear what you're saying. Instead of trying to archetypal is not a conscience language.
No.
Learning to, again, when I want people to know how smart I am, I'm in my head.
Yeah.
When I'm just trying to connect with people, I'm in my heart and in my body.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm speaking to them, vibrating to them archetypally.
Yeah. Yeah. The archetypal presence is so strong that if you know how to tap into it, and this is what we're talking about with the magician archetype. If you know how to tap into the archetypal energy, then you could awaken somebody who's with you.
Yes.
They will awaken to the idea that maybe they're more than the sum of their parts.
Yes, I would agree. I think that's what I challenge myself before I go on stage and I give my keynotes. Like last night I was in Phoenix. Whenever I start to get anxious, that's because I'm in my head and I'm trying to be smart. That I'm worried about other people recognizing my ego and how smart I am. I say, you know what? Get out of your head. You're simply giving people a gift. And if you're giving them a gift, which is vibrating with them at an archetypal level, you're not taking anything. You're not asking for anything.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is giving them a gift. I cannot fail. My job is to simply vibrate at the archetypal level recognizing, feeling different archetypes in the room when I'm talking to people, interacting with them on the stage, saying, okay, we're going to need some warrior. We're going to need some scientist. Mm. We're going to need the CEO. Mm. We're going to need the principal, mm. the retired principal mind. I mean, that there's all these archetypes that, again, the magician knows how to vibrate at each one and blend in. But instead of trying to blend in so that they'll accept me, is now is how can I blend in to simply activate their conscience, their universal conscience, to begin to vibrate and awaken. That's really all my job is.
As a when you become too self-involved, when you start listening to your own shit, that's where you get tripped up. Magicians and narcissism doesn't work well. They fuck themselves up. They fall on their face. They don't work well with that. And if they tap in, if they really try to hone it, which they can, it becomes a very shadow aspect of you. You become all those things that scare people about magicians. You become
absolutely.
You become dangerous for them.
You become a master manipulator.
Yeah, they're afraid of you but that's not what we are anyway. That's not all that we are. We are more than that. Okay. They reject old static ideas.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The magician is very bored very easily.
Yes.
Now, the magician sees every system eventually fades.
Oh.
That's just the path of evolution.
Yeah.
And so when we see people trying to double down or resell people on a system,
yeah,
whether it's the American dream or the capital system or this coach's system on a sports team. Mm. The magician comes in and says, okay, this system is barely hanging on. Mm. We might not have to do a complete overhaul. Maybe we just need to do a little updating. Mm. And that's where the magician can come in and sprinkle some magic and give the system a few more years of survival and relevance. Mm. But for the most part, magicians do not get attached to systems. Systems need buy-in from people to have power. Mm. And the magician sees how hollow every system is, because if that system does not have buy-in, that system is irrelevant. Mm. The only thing that makes a system powerful is if enough people buy into believing in it, whether it's organized religion or capitalism or multi-level marketing or, again, crypto. We need people to buy into a system to give it power. But the magician says, whether it's a year from now or 500 years from now, like the Roman Empire, you will eventually fade away, as all empires do.
Because it's a pattern, because the magician recognizes the pattern right away. And usually patterns are very repetitive. So whatever they did during the Roman Empire that failed and destroyed it, they have done it over and over again since, because they're patterns, and people have a tendency, as you said, they have a tendency to fall into old ways of trying to create the idea of victory, because they think it's an idea that you kind of won because you have a lot of toys, that somehow the idea of victory, you're going to recreate anything that's failed before because you now believe that you could actually not fail at it, even though whole civilizations were destroyed because of it.
Right. As a history major, we call a lot of this called Whiggish history, which means people go back and try to connect the dots to find a pattern.
Yes.
To create a one-size-fits-all formula to show this is how we stay relevant and make sure our empire never fades away. And so also the pattern of every empire is they think they're the exception to the rule. Mm. The pattern of every system is that they think they're
the exception. That's the narcissism, right?
Absolutely.
That's the narcissism. That's where the myth of Narcissus is, that he stared into the reflection of the well. And he kept staring at how beautiful he was.
Right.
How beautiful. And after a while, he got tired and fell into the well and drowned in the well.
Yes. And this is where the magician triggers a narcissist, because we will come into your system. Okay, coach, I'm coming into your program. And I'm going to sprinkle a little magic into it to give it some life. But I'm not going to give you my blood, sweat, and soul to make your system more powerful than you actually than it actually is. It's not the system that that is given the magic.
I will not give you control. I will not give you control.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's why
this is how it goes bad for you, for me, for every magician. This is how it goes bad.
This is always how it goes bad. That assistant bring in the magician.
Yeah.
To give it life.
Yeah.
But then they then resent the magician. They try to choke it. They resent the magician because some part of them knows it was the magician that gave it life to begin with.
Yeah.
And therefore they're like, oh wait, I don't want the followers to see it was the magician. I want them to see it was the system.
Yeah.
So therefore we then need to kill
crucify, the magician,
burn the magician to get them out of the way. And we need to consolidate this system into a bureaucracy, giving people the illusion that this is a one-size-fits-all system.
Yeah.
But if everyone just follows the rules, they would be successful and they will be happy. And the magician says, there is no one-size-fits-all system. And every system, again, will eventually fade. But that's what allows me to continue to bring in magic because I did not attach myself to any system at all. Because just like everything,
that's why we were burned. That's why we were killed. That's why we were hunted. It's because we say the same thing now as we said then. Now we're just ostracized. They try to push us out of places.
Yes, absolutely. That the corporate C-suite levels just don't invite us there anymore. They're bringing us in as consultants.
Yeah, consultants. Yes, they want consultants. They always need us for that. They're never gonna. They're never
gonna bring us on board for
that. Brought down the stock market. The kids that brought down the stock market. They were all magicians. They all came from MIT. They came. They created a numerical system of how to calculate things, and they brought down the entire market because it was all a creation. It was an illusion.
Yes. Absolutely, 100%. And so that is where the magician is never given a salary that honors who they really are. That the magician is a threat to people who are in power because, again, if people say, okay, look at Lance, he's playing free and loose with his talent and his skills, but everyone's trying to control me with these tiny, mundane, monotonous rules. Why can Lance not have to do that? I don't think that's fair. But again, that's a threat to systems. And so to anyone who has found themselves continually dismissed from systems, that is a very clear sign that I would tell you that you have either or the philosopher and the magician archetype within you. And that is not necessarily a bad thing because again, the magician understands just as my body will fade away, so too will this system. But the magician, probably faster than most other archetypes, the magician lets go of the fear of death. We're afraid of torture. We're afraid of trauma.
We're not afraid of death.
But as far as my egoic identity that is attached to a system, that is where we let go sooner than most other archetypes. To say that Lance Allred in this iteration is simply an extension of my culture, which is Mormon, Intermountain West, wilderness background, pioneer spirit, entrepreneurial spirit. So much of that is based on the culture which is tied to their geographic landscape. That does not transcend universally.
No.
Who I was raised to be by my culture, that the magician, quicker than any other archetype, probably lets go of their cultural identity that they were molded to be. And they let go of that. It's not easy to do. It's a terrifying thing to do. But once you move past that, you then no longer, just as you no longer get attached to systems, you also no longer get attached to ideas of who everyone around you and who yourself think you have to be. that you continually evolve even in just one incarnation. There's been so many iterations of Lahab. There's been many iterations of Lance.
Yeah.
That I look back and I say, wow, that was a skin that I continually shed. I shed. I keep growing and outgrowing ideas of who I think I have to be.
Yeah.
Because every part of me, that was just a system. That was my archetypes working in a system, realizing, okay, they got me here. But then what the magician recognizes, what got me here isn't necessarily going to get me there.
No, no, for sure. It's because there are places in the world that I walk into and I've never been there, but they feel so familiar.
Oh, absolutely.
They smell so familiar. Mm-hmm. They taste so familiar. The sounds of the people sound familiar. The feeling of the place when you touch something feels like you've been there. The experience of being there is, the Jungians call it synchronicity, but it's like it vibrates through your body.
Yep.
So when you walk into a place, you're like, yeah, I've been here.
I've been here. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been here before. I know this place. Whether it is, you want to call it deja vu, or it's like, okay, whether this is a dream or a past experience, I know this place. I know it very well. I felt it.
There's a couple of other ones. Sees further than most. Do you want to
see further than most?
Yeah. You want to expand on that?
It's not just my height advantage that allows me to see over everybody else, but the magician always sees things in the long game. That a lot of people think, oh, you're a prude, or oh, you're judgmental, why are you such a wet blanket? Then the magician says, impulsivity doesn't get me anywhere. Now the magician, again, from past experiences, whether subconscious or not, we understand everything's a game. And therefore, we're playing this with a gamer mentality that if I start playing impulsively, that's when I lose. So you see things long-term that you're able to say, okay, well, if I do this and I do this, but also I saw someone else do this and they got that effect. Why would I think I'd get a different outcome? Again, that's narcissism, that's hubris. That the magician does not think they're the exception to the rule. Shadow magician does. But clean, empowered magician says, okay, I see the rules of the game. But what allows me to be a magician is that, as Einstein says, religion without science is dangerous. That we can bring magic, but we also have to always respect what are finite rules of this three-dimensional vibration and the physics that are the rules of this game. So when people are bullshitting and saying, oh, I bend space and time when I'm vibrating, that's redundant and it's stupid. Because let me say it this way. If a basketball player, let's say my old teammate LeBron, could play basketball, but he was able to dribble outside, out of bounds, and never be called for a penalty, while everyone else had to play in bounds, but LeBron was given permission to play out of bounds. Would that be inspiring to people? No. It's who is able to master the rules of the game and ascend within those rules. So the true magician is, I'm not trying to cheat. I'm simply trying to understand the rules of the game.
And but once they always think we are cheating.
People think we're cheating, but
they're
not.
Always thinking that we're cheating because we always have the answer before we hear the rest of the question. We have the answer for them.
Absolutely. They think we're cheating and they think that we think we're the exception to the rule. It's like, no, I just know playing the long game. I know where the shortcuts are, but I also know where you can't cut corners. So that's the cast that I've triggered a lot of people that don't want to be held accountable for things. But the magician actually does hold themselves accountable. The magician holds himself accountable for his world, for his experience, for his perceptions of the world.
Or hers, yes.
His or hers perception of the world. And at the same time, they also recognize, okay, learning vicariously from other people's mistakes, what are some paths that I don't need to go down that will allow me to save time? You see, a lot of people say, oh, okay, well, I have to do this and do this. Why does Lance get away with everything? But then they'll, on the same token, they'll make horrible choices, thinking that somehow they're going to be the exception to the rule. And that's just a lot of projection. The magician understands the rules of the game naturally, and they were always looking to understand the rules continually, knowing that the rules are always changing. And so the magician is continually on alert to see any subtle changes in the game.
They're never taken for what they are. They're very clear magicians, at least good magicians. An evil magician is basically a magician, as Lance was explaining, is somebody who has started to believe their own tune. They start to think that their shimmer, their magic is theirs.
Yes.
It's not from the universe. There is not a price to it, that the cosmos holds you accountable in so many different ways for what it gives you. This is part of the balance.
Yes.
The cosmos doesn't give you outright everything. It holds back. It gives you what it thinks you can use without abusing it. It only gives you as much as it feels that you are there, that you could handle if it feels anything. But it's not a feeling state, but it's a conscious state. Go on, Lance.
Absolutely valid point that you're bringing up, that the magician understands, okay, I do not think I'm an exception to the rule, that these are the rules to the game, that if I'm playing with this magic, it doesn't get to be about me.
Yes.
The magician, while the shadow magician believes it is about them, everything, it becomes about them. They think it's they who created this magic. That's when you fall into shadow, as we see the story of hubris hundreds of times over throughout history. The empowered magician, the light magician, is the one that says, okay, I'm not an exception to the rule, that I am here simply as a conduit, that it doesn't get to be about me. And that's where the curse of invisibility, or the blessing of invisibility, comes in. The shadow magician wants to be recognized. It is about me, he says. Light magician, sometimes, quite often, we are tempted. I wish people would see all the cool things I've done. But then on the same hand, we realize, understanding to play the game, to continue to bring magic, we lose the magic when we want to make it ours, and we want to make it about us.
And also, it's a heavy toll.
It is a heavy
toll. You have to surrender your innocence. You have to surrender the parts of you that are connected to the cosmos, that the creation aspect of it, where when you see something, you go, ah, that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
You lose that when you are deep into the revelry of thinking that your crap is more important and more valuable than any other crap out there. And that your crap is made out of gold and theirs is made out of silver.
Absolutely. That is an important thing that, again, just to recap it all, this is valuable because I trigger even my siblings. They always were like, why does Lance get to be the exception? But it's like, no, I'm not the exception. But you fail to understand that the magician learns the rules of the game. And we learn what is essential and what is a waste of time. And a lot of people get bogged down in the rat race and the hoops that people think are the important things, that the fine print. And the magician says the fine print isn't worth the time. We don't have time for all the fine print. But that's not what I'm coded to do as a magician. I am going to paint the broad strokes and bring in the beauty. And then if people want to do the fine little details, that's fine. But they think that is us thinking that we're an exception to the tiny rules. Maybe that kind of is, but I think it's more of us saying that's not where I can bring my strengths in here. My job is to bring in my strengths, which sprinkle in some magic dust into the system. And then if you guys want to bring your fine print on after that, go ahead. Does it mean that I think I'm more important or an exception to the rules? But that's not what I'm coded to do.
Well, the projection is hard. The projection is easy to carry because the magician thinks it's funny. That's part of the problem. Part of the problem is when they project this shit, you start to laugh and you don't take them seriously, which aggravates them and makes them angrier and starts to project all kinds of negative crap towards you. Like,
he
doesn't listen, he's an asshole, he always thinks he knows the answer, which you usually do.
This is true. Here's the thing, again, about the magician is that we see the long game.
Yeah.
That if you're always so focused on the tiny details in front of you, you lose the peripheral vision. You don't see what's coming to you from miles away.
And
that's where you get blind.
That's the one that we were talking about. They see further than most. The other one that I like is they're not very practical.
Not practical. I would say again,
because they're out of 20 ideas, they might toss them all in the garbage and say, I'm going to start all over again. that's what I mean by impractical for people, not like not in reality, but this is how people see us.
Yes. I would say that is where we as magicians can always learn to have more respect and humility to honor. Just because we're able to copy and mimic archetypes should not give us permission to look down or see them as mundane or boring. That we can always do a better job of delegating and trusting other archetypes. Because the magician is so used to being the one to bring in the 11th hour home run or magic to save the day. That the magician sometimes, our fault is, where we fall short is being able to let go and delegate. And let's say we had all these ideas, as you say, and you say, oh, I have to do it all by myself.
Yeah.
The magician can learn to step into more trust and allow other archetypes to take this idea and go do something with it.
Absolutely. I think they need the other archetypes to fill out all the spaces that they don't see, because there are spaces that magicians don't see that the other archetypes exist in, and that's their space. So you can always ask them for where they're going, because they will tell you right away where their space is.
Well, let's just say, for example, the magician on a chessboard is the queen piece. It can do all these cool maneuvers, but it can't maneuver like the knight. The queen can't see the knight.
No.
And so you have to understand that the magician cannot see every single angle. We might be able to see more angles than most. But with humility, we have to, and this is hard to say, this is us being used and manipulated and abused by systems where people have us come in and give us the last minute job to save a sinking ship, that we're usually the ones being held in crisis mode to save everything, that we're very good at the end of bringing in something that, when we start with something at the beginning and we're trying to bring it into fruition, that because we're used to being the ones that they bring in at the last minute, We don't have anyone else usually to bail us out.
Yeah.
But we can develop better skills of helping other archetypes move into their glory and delegating and helping them look good, because that really is the end of the day. What the magician is doing, it is making everything look more beautiful. And that means even other archetypes.
And that we make, we need the allies.
We make everything look better.
Yeah.
And that sometimes means the magician does not get seen, because we're always making everyone else look better.
Yeah.
And that is okay. And instead of thinking that needs to change, understanding that's one of our gifts and our strengths. That, again, part of the gift is not being seen, but that's what we're coded to do. We're coded to empower other archetypes to help them do their jobs better. And it's hard, because again, when you're used and abused by systems so much, it's like, can someone just tell me thank you?
No, we're the last one in. We save the system, and we're the first one out. As soon as it stabilizes, we become a threat to the system somehow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what, when you're talking about your experiences with these coaches, that's exactly, I think, what happens is you come in, you stabilize the system, you save the system starts working, and then you become a threat, because it's like the system wasn't working before Lance got here. He's going to have way too much power. I should trade him and just keep exactly what I have now. Yes. And I think I could keep it running. I don't really need him as much anymore.
No.
Because.
No. And I think that is what continually has happened to magicians over the millennia.
Yeah.
And there is some trauma that we can always face and say, okay, it's not fair. And that's okay. And understanding that's part of the sacred burden that we carry, but moving into divine pride is a task of the magician. Divine pride, sacred trickster, where we are able to say, between me and the universe, look what we did.
Yeah, yeah.
Not what we and those archetypes did, but between me and my higher power, in a silent conversation, we're able to say, look what we did. Yeah. That is the deep task of the magician in this iteration, in this time and space on planet Earth, to move out of being recognized through human eyes and instead moving into trust with the divine eyes of the universe and say, this was our sacred task and look what we did. It's not easy. It's easier said than done. Because again, that is us. When we want people to recognize us, that's us getting caught in systems. The system of planet Earth, which is, okay, you have to be seen and recognized for you to be safe, to have power, to have your needs met. Those are old stories of survival, the survival of the human system. Yeah. Instead, we're now like, okay, can I move into trust with universal conscience and say, look what we did? That is a challenge I would give now here towards the end of this podcast for us to step into that divine pride.
And we would like to call out all those young, scared magicians out there, even the older ones. Don't be scared. We're here. I am not afraid. I want you guys to come out. I want you guys to start messaging us, asking us questions. We'd love to have more questions to answer. We'd love to talk about something that's important to all of you. Lance, always a pleasure, my friend.
Yes.
We will continue this conversation next week. From the Gem Training Institute, I am Dr. Lahab Al-Samurai. This is Lance Allred. And Lance, you want to say goodbye to our listeners today?
Yeah, I will say goodbye by saying, appreciate the frontier that we were always being pushed to. That no matter the harder we try to fit in the systems, the more outlier we become. That the more of a threat we become the systems, because we still people magic and thunder. And the great frontier that we're now on, again, is moving into the universal conscience, where we truly are being asked to let go of our individual identity, our tribal identity, and move into divine consciousness, universal consciousness, where we were able to say, look what we did, you and me as a universe, me as an extension of you in this archetypal language of the magician. Accept that challenge and begin to move into that cosmic level of consciousness. That is what I believe we're being asked to do in blazing a new frontier.
This is the Magician's Call, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Magician's Call. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Al Samurai and Lance. We hope you will continue to join us on this journey and throughout the series. If you enjoy the IFC's Magician's Call podcast, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. You can also find us on the IFC YouTube. See you again for another episode soon.